Hallelujah. Is that your proclamation today? I'm going to bless him at all times. When things are going good and when things are going bad. In trial and in blessing. No matter what the situation is, I've come to bless the Lord. Can we do that one more time? However you like to do it, with your hands raised or clapped. Lord, we bless you today. We bless you at all times. I've made up in my mind. I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to bless you today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that's in this place today. His power and his presence is here today, church. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's a very special day today. 34 years ago, my bride was born. And I'm glad that she was born 34 years ago so that I could marry her and beautiful family. And my buddy over here, Mike Filsinger, was born 34 years ago on this day as well. Same day. That's pretty neat. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I trust you're looking forward to a wonderful time. If you get to spend that with family this week, Thanksgiving, be a good time to reflect and be thankful for what God has done in our lives and in our families. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 reads, "Be careful or anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And I feel led this morning to preach on this topic, peace of mind. Peace of mind. And that God of peace is in this place today. And I feel his peace moving in this place today. Would you set your Bibles down and would you lift your hands and would you ask God to speak in this house this morning? Lord, I thank you for your power and your spirit that is already evident in this place. And I pray today, God, that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive your word. I pray, God, that as your word goes forth, that peace flows into lives, into hearts, and into families that are listening and hearing your word today. I thank you, God, for your peace that we have. I thank you, God, for the comfort that we have in your name. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. If something gives you peace of mind, it stops you from worrying about a particular problem or difficulty now and in the future. Insurance companies and warranties are known to give you peace of mind. For instance, several years ago, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, my insurance guy told me that I should get the peace of mind added to my insurance policy. Now, it was probably a sales pitch, I thought, but we'll see what it offers. It covers way too many things to list here this morning, but a few of them include tire repair. If you run out of gas on the side of the road, somebody will come, a locksmith for your car, a tow truck. And for $10 a month, it covers a lot of stuff. Now, the first year I got this, I had an old junker F-150, and I locked the keys in the car 2 times in just a couple of months. And that peace of mind, as he called it, on my policy paid for that. So I've got my money's worth out of that. But I mainly got this added to my policy because my wife at that time drove a lot. And I thought if she happened to get stranded and I couldn't get to her, that she would be taken care of. And that would give me peace of mind that she would be okay. Now, I hope that I never have to use this, but most of all of us, I guess all of us probably, have insurance on our homes and on our cars, and that just gives us peace of mind. Now, we hope we don't have to use it, but it does give us peace of mind that if something would happen, that we would be covered and we would be taken care of. Life insurance is a peace of mind for the future of our loved ones. In the past, I used... I guess this was probably when Kelly and I first got married. I used H&R Block to do my taxes. And they also had a thing, Brad, that they called peace of mind, that you could add to that. Now, again, I thought that's probably a sales pitch. But the more she talked about it, I said, well, if it's not that much, I'll add it to it. And for if for whatever reason that you got audited by the IRS, they said they would take care of it. Now, I will say that we did get audited by the IRS one year because of some schooling loan things, and they did take care of it, and we didn't have to do. So it was money well spent, I feel like. Now, maybe it was a sales pitch, and most people don't use it, I don't know, but in that scenario, it worked for me. There are some things in life that we deal with, such as these that I have mentioned, that are taking out whatever coverage necessary just to have that added peace of mind. I think it's safe to say that if there was a way to obtain peace of mind over a situation that could be out of our control, we would most likely do what it takes to obtain the added assurance just to have that peace of mind every day, knowing that we were going to be okay, that everything was going to be all right, that we were going to be taken care of and our family was going to be taken care of. It does seem that sometimes there are situations that we face in life that are simply out of our control. There is no policy you can buy, and there is no added insurance that can be obtained. And before the problem ever occurs, before the situation gets out of hand, before there even is a situation, our mind starts thinking and prepping and worrying and doubting and stressing and trying to resolve a problem that most likely has not even occurred yet. Most time, I feel that the battle that is waged starts in our minds. The mind is a set of cognitive faculties, including consciousness and perception and thinking and judgment and memory. And it holds the power of imagination. It holds the power of recognition and appreciation, and is responsible for processing feelings and emotions, resulting in attitudes and actions. Can I just throw this in there for a minute? We must be careful not to let our minds play tricks on us, not to imagine things that are not happening, not to get bad attitudes towards people because we think that something is going on. The Bible speaks much about the mind, and it says in Romans 8:6, "For to be carnally minded is death." But he says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Being carnally minded is desiring the things of the flesh. It is giving in to fleshly appetites, desiring worldly success and achievements, surrendering to sinful desires and temptations. A carnally minded person puts more emphasis on themselves rather than the kingdom of God. They care more about their success than others' needs. When you are carnally minded, spiritual ideas and actions and priorities are on the back burner or non-existent. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against God. So then they that are in the flesh, they that are carnally minded, cannot please God. Why is that? Because they are always prioritizing the flesh. They are giving in to fleshly desires. And when you prioritize the flesh, there is no focus on the spirit. A spiritually minded person is the opposite. They war against the flesh. They fight their battles in the prayer room. Their success is driven by God's definition of success. Other people's needs are far more important than their wants. A spiritually minded person wars on the floor in prayer, fasts until something happens, and praises in the midst of a storm. Spiritually minded people aren't anxious about things of this earth, for they soon will have life after this. The things that are happening in this life are prophesied that they will come to pass in the last days. We have that from the Word of God. But a spiritually minded person doesn't put all of their focus on worldly events. They don't put all of their energy focusing on the bad. Their emphasis is on spiritual things that are happening. Their focus is on God and the growth of His kingdom. Now, I understand that we're living in a world right now where events are happening all over. But I'll tell you this. There's no change. Yes, we're having a pandemic, and yes, we're having some things going on with the election. There's some other things going on, but this isn't new. This isn't new. Things are always happening around us and have been happening around us, and God is still in control. And it's important that our eyes are upon Him and that we're looking towards Him and we're not so carnally minded that we're focusing on all the events and all the things that are happening around us, but that our focus is on spiritual things and Him and His kingdom and the growth of His kingdom. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, to have that spiritual mind, the Bible says, is life. And also we receive peace when we're being spiritually minded. When you are spiritually minded, you will have peace of mind. To the spiritually minded person, there is a life after this, and there is peace in knowing that. There's peace in knowing that I know things look bad right now, and when I look around at our world, it looks pretty bad, but I've got peace today because I know this isn't where I'm going to spend eternity. I've got a life after this that is far more important, and I want to focus my mind on that. I want to focus my mind on that. In our text, Paul addresses the church at Philippi and says, don't be anxious. Of course, comes from the word anxiety. That is experiencing worry, uneasiness, or nervousness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Anxiety is also experiencing worry or uneasiness or nervousness about something that may or may not happen. Worrying about something that is completely out of our control. Anxiety also goes with another word that we hear a lot, and that word is fear. I think it's safe to say that you and I, as human beings, know a little bit about anxiety. We know a little bit about worry and fear and stress and nervousness. Several research studies that I read, along with other polls that I looked at, said that 85% of things that we worry about or are anxious about never even happen. 85% of things that we're losing sleep over, that we're worrying about, that we think could happen, do not even happen. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We need to keep our minds focused on right things. Now, I have people in my life, and I'm sure that you have people in your life, that have nothing but negative things to say. Why? Because they're always focusing on all the negative and bad things happening around them and in our world. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of negative and bad things that are going on. And if we choose to focus on them all day long, we are going to be anxious and we're going to be fearful, and we're going to be stressed out all the time. I'll make a little, I'll be real with you right now. I used to read, I get the Fox News app and even Facebook, and I'd look at that. I don't even know how many times. I said 10 plus. I put 10 plus times, but probably more than that per day. 10 times plus per day, Fox News and Facebook. I may look at it once a day down. In fact, Kelly and I just cut Facebook out way back, cut it out for a couple of weeks. Because you start looking at all that, and it's hard to find anything that is constantly talking about positive things. All you read about or hear about is disapproval with the president, bad politics, Hollywood accusing someone of this, war in this country, this many dead in this shooting, more recently the COVID pandemic, and on and on and on. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not against the news. If you look at the news and watch the news, that's your own prerogative. I'm not naive, and I understand the importance of keeping up with the events in our world. But it seems the people that I encounter that suffer with anxiety, fear, that are negative all the time, are focused on the wrong things. They're letting the wrong things in their mind all the time and dwelling on all the bad and negative things that are going on around them. Their mind is constantly on all the horrible things happening, and they magnify a small problem. Now I'll bring this to the church. They magnify a small problem in the church. They focus on what isn't going right in the church or what needs to be fixed rather than focusing on what is going right in the church and what has been fixed. Your mind is working overtime, processing good and bad all day long, every day. So in order to be spiritually minded, it will take action on our part to decide and to make up in our mind and to intentionally focus on good things and positive things and spiritual things. Now, there is nobody here that specifically comes to my mind that you see all the negative all the time, all the bad things around you. But if that is you, it is time to adjust what we let in our minds. We need to choose to focus on the positive things rather than magnify the negative things. We need to focus on the spiritual things rather than focus on the carnal things. Because there's one thing that is true, and that is this. We choose what we listen to. We choose what we watch. We choose what we focus on. We choose what we let in our mind. And the choice is up to us whether we're going to choose to dwell on all of the bad and negative and horrible things, or are we going to choose to dwell on the spiritual things of God. I don't know about you, but I want peace of mind. And I know that that comes when I focus on the spiritual things. It's all about perspective. One perspective is this. The Bible says, that's a key phrase. When somebody's getting ready to tell you something. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that God gave us this insight and this warning. Now I'm going to be real with you. There's nothing I can do to change it. And there's nothing that you can do to change it. No amount of fear or worry or anxiety can change that. Now, I can choose to focus on it. I can choose to think about the perilous times. I can choose to compare where we're at right now with what the scripture is talking about. But at the end of the day, church, it's going to happen. At the end of the day, his word says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. It's going to happen, and there's nothing that I can do to change it. But I have, and I'm not saying reading that and preaching from that and talking about that, and I'm not saying that that's all wrong. I'm just talking about perspective. There's another perspective that says I can use my energy and my mind to focus on another scripture. Because it's in the Bible. And the Word says, the Bible says, there's the key phrase. The Bible says that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Rather than worrying about something that I have no control over, I can't control the perilous times. They're coming whether I like it or not. They're here whether I like it or not. But I can choose and I can pray that God would use me in the last days to be a conduit for His Spirit to work during and through this time. His Word does say, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And I don't know about you, but I want to think about that. I want to pray about that. I want God to do that. I want to open myself to be the conduit that He wants. I want this church to be a place and a sanctuary where His revival and His power and His Spirit can be outpoured in these last days. It's all about perspective. I can choose to focus on perilous times, and I can get stressed out and I can get depressed because how our world is looking, or I can choose to think that in the last days, the greatest revival of the church is going to happen, and that's what I'm going to choose because I've got peace of mind that everything is going to be okay. Although perilous times might be here, I've got a God who sits on the throne, and I've got a place. This place here is not what I call home, but heaven is what I call home. And I have peace of mind knowing that God is in control. Our text says, don't be anxious. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. But in everything, in the good times and the bad times and the blessings and the trial and the tribulation and during life's problems and life's uncertainties, and when the future is unknown. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray about those things. What things? All things. Bring your petitions to God. Offer thanksgiving for what He has done for you. Here's a key right here, church, to having peace of mind as we pray about everything. We bring it before the Lord and we lay it down at His feet and say, God, You're in control. I don't know what's going on with this political nonsense. I don't know what's going on with all these other countries. I don't know really what's going to happen with my finances. I don't know what's going on with the economy. I don't know what's going to happen with my family member that has COVID. But God, I'm laying all those down at Your feet. I'm laying everything, all my worries down at Your feet, and I'm asking You to take those. And hear me, somebody, when He takes those and when You decide to lay those down, He takes those and He gives you peace. The Bible says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Bring them to God. Pray about those things. And it says, and the peace of God. I love this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That peace passes all understanding. Because when we're talking with our friends or our coworkers or some of our family that doesn't serve God, and we're talking about whatever subject it is, maybe it's COVID, maybe it's this political nonsense that's going, maybe, who knows what it is, maybe it's your job or whatever, and we start talking to them and they're just like, well, aren't you worried about it? Aren't you fearful about it? Aren't you dealing with anxiety about it? No. I've got peace that surpasses all understanding. I can't really explain it. All I know is I've given that to God. I've given all my worry to God. I've given all these problems to God. And in turn, He has given me peace. And then I love this. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep there means to watch in advance. It means to protect you. It means to guard. So the peace of God that passes all understanding goes before us. When we as Christians on a daily basis get in our altar and we begin to pray and we begin to say, God, I'm giving you everything today. All my fear and all my anxiety and all the problems that we're facing and all the things that are going on in this world, and I'm giving you all of that today. The Bible says that he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding, and that peace guards us. It goes in front of us. It goes before us and keeps us from that fear and from that anxiety and from that hurt. It guards us. Peace that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds. Then verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what does the writer say? He says, think on these things. Notice Paul didn't say that this was just going to happen. He said it is going to take some direct action on your part. You are going to have to be intentional on what you think about. Why? Because our human minds like to be carnal. They like to be negative. It wars with the spiritual, so we have to be intentional on what we let our mind think about. Because if we're not being intentional on what we let our mind think about, I think probably for most of us, we start going, perilous times. Look at all the bad things that are going on. If we're not intentional about thinking on the good things of God, we will deal with anxiety and stress and fear. But if we start being intentional on thinking about his word, we're going to have peace that passes all understanding. He said, think on these things, true things. Don't spend your time thinking on maybe things. It may or may not happen. Think on true things. And there are a lot of solid and true things about God that we can think about. God's blessings and God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and his word. And if you want to find some true things, get in his word and read about what he did and what he said he's going to do. His word is true. Honest things. Think on genuine, authentic, honorable, impartial, sincere things. Kind of going through these quickly. Think on the opposite of honest is counterfeit. Deceitful, deceptive, false, unjust. Well, those things sound like the devil. Well, I'm not thinking on the devil. Maybe not, but he has ways of slipping things into our minds. You have to make up in your mind, I'm not going to put those things before my eyes. I'm not going to let those things in my ears. It requires action on our part. Be careful what you allow your mind to take in. He said, just things, equitable, innocent, holy. Think on holy things, pure things, wholesome and untainted by immorality. With the world we live in and the immorality that we see on a daily basis, whether it's a billboard or TV commercial or show on Facebook, we've got to guard our minds. We've got to guard our minds. Hear me, somebody. It's deliberate action on our part to think on pure and wholesome and godly things. Paul said, think on these things. Make a deliberate action to do this. Talked about lovely things, godly, radiant, pure, virtuous, heavenly. There's a thing we could think on. Heaven. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. He said, think on things of good report. Good report. How many have a testimony of a God healing you or delivering you or providing for you? As I was going over this, I was thinking of Sandra Braddy, how we prayed and prayed and prayed for those kidneys, and it didn't really look good. It didn't look like she would ever be off of that dialysis. But you know what? We kept bringing that petition before God. bringing it before God, bringing it before God. And a miracle happened in her life, and she's no longer on dialysis. We need to start thinking on good things and good reports. He says, and those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In closing, if you want peace of mind in this hateful, frustrated, negative, political, sinful world, you can have it. We can have peace of mind today. First, we've got to strive to be spiritually minded. Secondly, His Word says, don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. But by prayer, bring your petition to the Lord with thanksgiving. The God of peace will keep your heart and mind. And thirdly, think on righteous, holy, pure, true, just, lovely things. Testimonies of what God has done for you and all around you. And the God of peace will be with you. Would you stand with me this morning? As Christians, we can have peace of mind, knowing that God will take care of us. How many believe that God will take care of you? We can have peace of mind. It's not an insurance policy that we buy from an insurance company, this type of peace of mind. You can't buy a policy for this type of thing, for when we're really going through something. But we do have an insurance policy with Him. We can have peace of mind with Him because we know that He is in control. And if we will follow the principles that He's given us, His Word says, peace that passes all understanding shall protect you, shall guard you. That's kind of like what an insurance policy, when we buy those for our vehicles or for our homes, what it does is we purchase it in advance so that we're taken care of if something happens. And when we follow God's principles and we put our trust in Him, and daily we bring our petitions before Him, we're buying some peace of mind knowing that His peace is going to go before us. Even before it even happens, even before the things happen that we don't even know is going to happen, even before that happens, His peace goes before us and it guards us and it protects us and it will be sufficient. If you've come here today and you're anxious, maybe you're fearful, maybe you're stressed out, maybe you're nervous about things that are going on in our world, or maybe it's in your family turmoil, or whatever the case may be, God wants to help you with that today. Listen to this preacher. You don't have to walk out of these doors feeling stressed or fearful. But His peace is in this place today. If you're watching online, wherever you're at, in your car or in your living room, His peace is there today. And if you will follow His Word, He will take all of that worry and all of that stress, and He will give you peace. You don't have to be anxious about it. But if you will bring it to Him in prayer this morning, and you will lay it down at His feet, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't understand how it's all going to work out. God, I don't understand why my family's going through this, or why this is happening in my life or at my job. If you'll take that and lay that down at His feet and say, God, I don't know and I don't have the answers, He will take that. And He will take the fear that comes with that. And He will take the worry that comes with that. And after He takes those things, He will give you peace that passes all understanding. Would you just lift your hands right now? Would you ask God to work maybe in your life or in your family? Maybe it's for you. Would you lay that down right now at His feet? Lord, we come before You this morning. We come before you this morning according to your word, knowing that we don't have all the answers and we don't know the answer to every problem and everything that's going on in our lives right now. But what we do know is that we have your word. We have the principles of your word that says if we'll bring it and lay it before your feet, that you will take it. You told us that we could cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. And we know, God, that you are and you hold the title of the Prince of Peace. So because you hold that title, you are able to impart peace that passes all understanding. I pray for every individual in this place right now, watching, listening, or in this congregation, that peace that passes all understanding would flow to their lives right now. I pray that it would flow into their families. I pray that it would flow into their workplaces. I pray, God, that it would flow into our community, that as we bring our petitions before you, you will give peace and you will supply peace. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you.
Why don't we take a moment and thank the Lord for that peace we had this morning. If you're thankful for it today, that you can live and walk in peace, God, I thank you for a peace that passes all understanding today. We honor you and recognize that peace, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I was thinking as McGuire was preaching this morning, this world is desperate and clamoring for the peace that we have today. And if we can have it in 2020, you can have peace anytime. If you can walk through a year like this, I bet you there's coworkers wondering, how are you so calm and peaceful about all this? And it's not because we've got it all figured out. It's just because we've got a God who's guarding our hearts and our minds with his peace. Our grief share ministry has been going on over the last several weeks. And there are individuals that have come from outside our church just needing the peace of God. And they're looking for an access and an outlet for that that grief that they're carrying. Amber noted to me this last week, we had a lady named Angie that came and they didn't even discuss baptism or anything, but it was part of the homework and some devotions. And on Thursday night, they baptized her in the name of Jesus right here after grief ministry. We thank God for the peace that we have, and there's individuals searching for it and looking for it. And I'd like us to pray just before we conclude this morning, because there are individuals who have lost and are heading into this holiday season just needing some semblance of peace. And you know of some of them, and there may even be some in this room today. I'd like us to cover them, and not only that they would find the peace of God, but also they'd find what Angie found, forgiveness of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Would you pray with me specifically right now that peace of God would guard the hearts and minds of those, Lord, who have lost someone, and those who are walking through this season, Lord, with grief on their hearts and minds, God. Maybe not even grief over a lost loved one, maybe grief over the world around them, Lord, and they are desperate and they're clamoring for the type of peace that we have, a peace that passes all understanding. We pray for them today. We speak peace into them and over them. We may not even know their names just yet, Lord, but we know that you see them and you see their heart and their mind, Lord, that is desperate and looking for something that will guard it and keep it. We pray for those individuals and for any today that are in need of the peace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is something that cannot be purchased or bought.